to the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, the Lord which made heaven and earth. He said, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. The Lord which keepeth thee, he will not slumber nor sleep. Oh, the Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade. Upon thy right hand,
a little bit about Moses, certain attributes of Moses. Everything that in the Bible is for our edification, is for our, you know, education in the things that pertain to life. So we should, if we want to escape the things that we are hearing, we're just discussing about various things happening in the world, sicknesses, diseases, unexpected deaths, pain, sorrow, the list never ends. But we have an escape route through the gospel, through the glad tidings that Jesus Christ brought to us. That's why we share these things day and night, and we always keep these things in remembrance, always remembering this thing that we have heard, so that the birds of the air don't come and pluck them out of our hearts. See, when the seed is sowed, we have to guard these things and keep remembering them and continuing them. The pressures of this world and the things on the without will not rob us of these good things that the Lord is doing to us today. Moses, the Bible says he was the meekest man, that's the most humble man upon the face of the earth. You see this in Numbers chapter 12 verse 3. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men who were upon the face of the earth. Moses, the most humble man in the world. See, it is because of that humility that he had that he was able to walk with God. He was able to walk with the consuming fire. See, this same Moses was the one who was able to enter into the cloud and commune with God for 40 days while the children of Israel were afraid to even hear the voice of God. The children of Israel could not even withstand that fire. When God appeared as fire, the mountain was shaking and they couldn't stand it. But Moses could even enter beyond and stay in the heart of God, listening to God 40 days. The same Moses could enter into the holies of holies of the tabernacle. He had unlimited access into that place where he would enter in and normally commune with God. But God is giving us a key, and Moses was the most humble man in the world. You see it, and we know in Isaiah chapter 57 verse 15 says, "For thus says the high and lofty one that inhabited eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." Amen. Amen. So you see that God dwells with the humble. See, the humble person is one who has lost, you know, all sense of self. He has a selfless life. He's somebody that lives solely on account of the Lord. See, when he speaks only on behalf of the Lord. These are people who have become model to become servants of God and God alone. See, this was the transformation that occurred in Moses, because Moses, as we know, was a prince in the land of where? Egypt. He was brought up in the house of Pharaoh. You see, in those days, those people were like gods. They were highly, highly regarded and, you know, and kind of worshipped in those days. And we saw how Moses, in his anger, killed an Egyptian guard. So obviously Moses was brought up in the house of Egypt, which is the land of the flesh, which is the world. He was a prince of this world and a great ruler of this world. But by the time God finished with Moses, he became the most humble man, the meekest man upon the face of the earth. And anyone who will have to enter the kingdom of God must humble himself. That's what Jesus Christ says, isn't it? You must humble yourself and become like a child. A child has no self. See it? No sense of self. A child is not proud. He's not lustful, he's not ambitious. He's simply pure and innocent. And that is the state God wants to bring us to. Praise God. Moses appearing in glory before Egypt is a shadow of the Son of God. It's a shadow of Christ appearing to deliver the elect from the land of Egypt, or from the world. Jesus Christ, in many of his parables, spoke about the coming of the Son of Man. He said he shall appear in the heavens with his angels to gather his elect from the four corners of the wind. Now, who are these elect? Who are these angels that are gathering? These are the servants of God. These are the servants of God. Angels are what? Servants. You know, years ago I had, you know, some of us, we have this kind of experience. Years ago I saw, my eyes were open to the spirit, and I saw an angel. Actually, it was a light body, kind of like a rainbow, you know. See, you know, this is one of those very clear, crystal clear visions. Not those visions that, you know, you have maybe when you just like that, but clear. He appeared and he threw something like, you know, bulbs of light to me. You know the lights of a Christmas tree? Those different colors. He like threw it to me. I was in a kind of a problem that time, in a dark place, and this angel of light threw that, these bulbs, these lights on me. You see, and that angel, we're not trying to say angels have form, they are simply invisible. Angels are like wings. Angels are spirit, actually. But angels are always there working on behalf of the Lord. You see it? Now, if something happens here, something pushes this object from here to there, it might be, you say it's the Lord who did it. See, but behind that force, it might be an angel. These are beings that live solely on account of God. They have no life of their own. They have no ambition of their own. Their life is God. You see it? Even Paul talks about this mystery. He says that when Christ, who is our life, appears, we shall appear with him. Our true life is actually that life of Christ, which is actually a pure, immaculate spiritual form. It's not of this world. Praise God. You know, Jesus Christ confessed this several times. I'm not of this world. I am not of this world. See it? Those of us who want to gain Christ, we must be ready to leave all to gain him. Because he's not of this world. Some of us want Christ and want the world, but it's not possible. Jesus Christ talked about the costs of the kingdom. The cost. What is the cost? That you will lose all things to gain that name. You lose all to gain him. That's the cost. See, it's not a matter of going to sell your house. It's not a matter of going to throw away your car. We're not talking about it in that direction. See it? But we're talking about your sense of being in this natural, material world. We're going to come to that very soon. Praise God. So you see, when these angels appear, they are servants of God. An angel does never comes to tell you about himself, because he has no self. His self is God. Are you seeing the mystery here? Mm-hmm. He has no life of his own. Jesus Christ too converted himself to becoming a servant of God. See, people don't know that Jesus Christ had a life of his own as a man. He was born of a Hebrew woman, Hebrew man. He was born into a Hebrew nation. He was a male. He had his genealogy after the flesh upon the earth. You see, but he was able to see afar off, through the eyes of revelation. He was able to see who he truly was and where he came from. That's why he himself picked up his cross and denied himself. If a time came when people came to say, look at Jesus, your mother is outside there, your brother and sisters are outside there, he turned and said, who is my mother and my brother and sister? Who are they? He said, this is my brother. He had divorced himself from that realm, from the outer realm. Now, he said those things I had recorded in the Bible for our edification. He knew that these things were going to be recorded. So he said these things as to teach us to detach ourselves from everything that is in this world, if you want to really gain Christ. See, because as long as you have your attachment in this world, you cannot retain that pure form, that pure, irrepressible form that you had from the beginning with God. It's very important. To gain your life, you must lose your life. See it? To gain your life, you must lose your life upon the earth. Then you will gain the life that is from above. This is a very, very important. We must understand it, that there is a life that is real, which is a celestial life. It's a spiritual life. And that life is the life of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, we all, now this is talking about all of us here now, it's not talking about Christians, not talking about Muslims, not talking about Buddha. See, all these are names that men form. See, man forms sex in his mind, he forms divisions here and there, that this is this way, this is that way. But God does not recognize all those things. Those are our own formations. See, God sees only all men on equal level. He sees every man according to the spirit. God does not see black, he does not see white, he does not see Indian, he does not see Christian, he does not see Muslim, he does not see poor, he does not see rich. See, he just sees the inner, invisible, eternal part of you, which is the spirit. That is the way we are known of God. Praise God. So,
amen.
Paul says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of what? The heavenly. See, and the image of that heavenly is the Lord himself from heaven. The image of the heavenly, only the Lord. There's only one. That heavenly image, that celestial image, which is the image of the Lord. See, that is the image or the name or the nature or the true self that we attain to in the new dispensation that is coming into light. Praise God. You know, there's a new dispensation. This world is passing away. Do you know that?
Mm-hmm.
The world is passing away. It's a constant phenomenon that occurs to in any man that has discovered himself in flesh and blood. Because this world, you know that song, this world is not my home. This world is not my home. See, Jim Reeves? This world is not our own. See, we find ourselves in flesh and blood. See, that we have been known after certain characteristics and all that. And we've lived a life after the flesh. Now the time has come to listen to the voice of truth. See, we must now begin a process of allowing the Spirit speak to our hearts. See, we must allow the Spirit work in us and cause an awakening in our hearts. Because in reality, God is not out here to kind of change us. Because he already made us perfect. We are already perfect. He's only here to cause us to awake to the reality that we are perfect. He is here to cause us to awake to the reality that we are light beings as his light. He's here to awaken us to the reality that the way Christ is the way we are. Because that is our life. But all along we were sleeping and we were dead. Praise God. Now,
amen.
Moses became the most humble man in the world, the meekest man in the world, because in reality, he is a figure of those who are resurrected, who are awoken. Amen. It's a figure of those who are resurrected. We were sleeping when we walked as men of the flesh. It's a very temporal identity that we put on for a moment, and many people just walk in darkness and suffering and irritation and just die off without even realizing the glory that is hidden in them. Many people, they don't know that I am the Son of God. Many people don't know that everything that the Father has is mine. Many people don't know these things. And many people enter into this life and just pass away without realizing this. But God, who is our true life, is speaking to us today. Moses had to go out on a journey for 40 years. 40 years before he could realize this transformation, or let's call it the awakening in him. Because we know Moses was not a humble man when he was a prince in Egypt. He was a lord, he was a king, he was a prince in the house of Egypt, which is the flesh, which is this world, highly exalted among men. See, but he had to undergo a 40-year journey into the heart of God. See, 40 years talks of trial, tribulations.
Up and down.
Why do you go through trials and tribulations? Is it because God is tempting us? No. James said that God does not tempt any man. But we are actually tempted by and drawn away by our own lusts, our own desires, our own carnal earthly desires. See, to be worshipped, to be seen, to be noticed by men, to be known of men, to be accepted of men, to be exalted of men. See, that's what, you know, John the Apostle says, all that is in this world is what? The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That is all that is in this life. Now you see, you go to places like Africa, you see people coming out to make elections, you know, campaigning for elections, and they get very violent, they kill each other just to get, you know, the upper hand in elections. Why? Why do people do all these things? Why are people carried away with all these things? It's simply because you want to get to a place where you are exalted, noticed, worshipped, and honored by men. See it? When you get there, you plunder the resources of the country, isn't it? So that you can be worshipped and recognized by men, isn't it? And these are the things that we have everywhere in the world. Unwittingly, unknowingly, what we have in this world is nothing but the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and pride of life. Lust. Lust reigns in this world. Lust reigns in this world. And along with lust comes sin and death. Along with lust comes the discords, the divisions, the bitterness, the hates, and all kinds of injustice and unrighteousness, lawlessness that we see in this world. It's all because of lust. Lust, gain of this world. But Jesus Christ groaned in the spirit and says, what shall it profit a man if you gain this whole world and what? Lose your soul. Can't you see? The problem with man is that, you know, thought in him that he can gain the glories of this world. And in the process, he loses his soul in the pool or in the sea of destruction. Now, if you have this revelation and you know what the Lord is speaking in this hour, God is giving us an escape route from the lusts and the corruption that is in this world. Praise God. Just like Moses, we have to tunnel our way out of the darkness of this world back into the heart of God, so that we can rediscover our true, innocent, humble self. Do you know, each out of us that's a humble man, that's a perfect man, who is not proud, who is love, who gives like the stars that give light. The stars are up there giving like their light. They don't come down here to ask you for anything, do they? They don't. They don't come down to ask you for anything. And those stars are you and I. Amen? And we have to be converted to become like the stars. For we are the light of the world. We have the light of the world. The gospel is bringing this revelation that the real you, the man in the inside of you, is the light of the world. It's created in the image and in the likeness of God. God cannot be tempted. God cannot be drawn away with lust. See, God cannot be bitter over a piece of property. See it? God cannot come down to dispute. See it, over this and over that. And all these are the lust of this age. Just think of it, over the ages, conflicts, wars, bitterness. You know, go to the Egyptian Empire. You will see that even among them, they had their dynasties. There was warring within them. Jealousy and fighting over the throne and betrayers and all these things have always been, because this is the world. The world is what? Darkness. It's darkness. It's ignorance. See it? But the Bible says in Corinthians, Paul says that the knowledge or the wisdom of this age, or of the princes of this age, is coming to what? To naught. To nothing. See, as a prince of this world, as a man of the flesh, you only wake up one day and discover that you have nothing. See, just like the foolish rich man, the Bible says he was gathering unto himself, gathering in barns, sowing, and he said now he will rest and enjoy what he has labored for, only for him to discover himself in the night. He was not rich towards God. He was not rich in the knowledge of God, which is the knowledge of Christ. He was not sowing to the inner man. He was not recognizing the voice of the Spirit awakening to the reality of his true life in the spirit. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Heaven and earth will pass away, but those that do the will of God abide forever. It's written in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of what? Of the Father. It's not of God. It's not of the Father, out of whom flows all life. It's only the Father that has life. See, he is the font of all the living. Now, if we have these things in us, the lust of this world in us, we are not of the Father. See, but it's of the world, and the world is passing away, and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. Amen?
Amen.
This is the privilege that we are being called to as sons of God. He that does the will of God abides forever. Meaning that he that humbles himself, he that turns him back on this, on the lust of this age, and humbles himself before the face of the eternal God, abides what? Forever. He inherits eternal life. He cannot be moved. His inheritance cannot be shaken. His joy cannot be shaken. His peace cannot be shaken. He stands forever. That is those that do the will of God. Those who become servants of God. See, those who have denied themselves and humble themselves to just living on account of the eternal one who is the one of the spirit. Praise God.
Amen.
These are the ones that abide forever. Jesus Christ made a promise. He says that he that serves me, let him follow me. For where I am, there my servant will be also. Where I am. Now where Jesus Christ is speaking, where I am, he's not speaking as a man. That's the voice of the Father. Where the Father is, that is where they were, the servants of God are gathered. And they all live by the countenance of the light of his glory. See, these ones cannot be moved. You know, Daniel saw the revelation of the Ancient of Days seated. And he saw myriads, uncountable number of angels serving the Ancient of Days. A stream flowed through from him. Stream of fire. And the Bible says that thousands, innumerable angels, myriads of servants, angels, were serving him. Who are these servants that are there serving him? That are partaking of that flow, that river that flowed from the Alpha and the Omega, from the stone. That flame of fire, that stream of fire, is actually the anointing, the life, the light, the source, the abundant life of God. These ones, they minister to the Lord, they live on account of the Lord, and they partake of that eternal life. See, innumerable, they are all there. You see, they don't have a name. When you see the ministers of God, you don't see them, they don't have a name. They are winged. See, you see, innumerable. Paul is there, John is there, Daniel is there. Amen?
Amen.
You are there, I am there in our awakened state. We are among that company that stand there eternally. And that is all that you ever need throughout all eternity, just to stand there and partake of the countenance of the light of his glory. See, let the light shine upon you. That is you. That is the one, that's all you need, just to see his face. And to stand before him day and night. Amen. That is all that you ever need. The other things what will follow. Like John says that when you do the will of God by abiding in the word, anything that you ask for, what he will do. Anything. Praise God. It's a very high level of consciousness that you attend to. See it. Where you live in the Father, you live on account of the Father. Where your father's, the Father's name is written upon your forehead. See, John saw this thing again in the book of Revelations. when he talked about the redeemed of the Lord. They all had the name of the Father written upon on their foreheads, and they were standing upon Mount Zion. These are people that live on account of the Lord. See, the old names that we had upon the earth as men, those ones they're only temporal. They dissolve and they pass away, they rot and they pass away. But that eternal name abides with us forever. Amen. Praise God. So Moses, 40 years in the wilderness, is like our tunneling through the darkness of this world. How do I put it? Against the will of the flesh, against the desires of the flesh. See, these are the things that caused men to go through the 40 years. It's the period of temptation and trial. It's the period where, you seek the face of the Lord, and at times it seems as if you are going nowhere. Nothing's happening. And what is wrong? At times you feel maybe you are even going worse. At times you feel maybe the devil tells you, look at you, you are going even wicked, more wicked. See, but you need patience and continuity. After 40 years, we see that Moses appeared before what? The burning bush. He appeared before a burning bush. See, all these 40 years and his appearance before the burning bush is already what happens in us as we leave the darkness of this age. As you begin to hear the word of truth, you are standing already before that burning bush. Praise God. It was an angel and messenger of God that stood in that burning bush speaking to Moses. And like I told you, an angel is simply a revelation of the invisible one, which is the I am that I am, which is God. An angel has no life of his own. When an angel appears, you're only just seeing God appearing. That's all. When he speaks, is the Lord speaking. When he walks, is the Lord talking, walking. Oh, praise God.
Hallelujah.
Servant of the Lord. So Moses stands before the servant of, before the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. It says, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Because he came to the mountain of God. See, amen. It's a kind of figure of our ascent. You know, we all have to ascend onto the mountain of God, which is Mount Zion, isn't it? Our movement is an ascent. We're moving out down from the earth. The earth talks of the world where the men live in carnality, live according to sight, according to the carnal reasoning, according to the wisdom of this age. That is the world. See, but we who seek the Lord begin what they call an ascent up the mountain. It's a spiritual ascent, actually, upon the mountain. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And that is where we can actually meet face to face with the voice of the Lord. We do this thing by faith now. By faith we walk in the Spirit. By faith we begin to listen in the Spirit. By faith we begin to see things in the Spirit. So this is something that we must begin to exercise ourselves with right now. Let go of this temporal, vanal, vain world. Hallelujah. Let go of the outer and begin to recognize the invisible. Let go of the outer and begin to recognize the presence of the eternal one in the Spirit. Oh, praise God. People have carried away with many, many activities in this world, but they don't realize that there's one invisible one that is making everything to work around us. People are not realizing that there's one invisible one that is causing, the plants to germinate, to spring forth, and to blossom. People are not recognizing that there's one invisible one that controls all the fishes in the sea and controls the movement of the birds and all the nature. People are not realizing or aware of the invisible one that is behind the growth and your sustenance upon this earth. But people are carried away with things on the outward. But the time comes in our life where we need to be still. The time comes in our life where we need to be still and know in meditation that I am God. Know that I am God, and besides me there is none other. Besides God there is none other. Besides me there is none other. All the other things you see around that appear as gods are simply idols. They appear as gods, great for a moment, boastful for a moment, after which you do not see them again. They are simply idols. But you must know that you must come to the place where we are still, as we ascend, as we meditate, as we keep ourselves in remembrance of the things that we've heard, we must come to the place where we know that I am the Lord. I am that I am. And besides me, there is none other. That was what Moses was receiving in the spirit as he stood before the burning bush. Oh, praise God. Verse 2, Exodus chapter 3, verse 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with what? With fire. And the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the midst of the bush and said to Moses, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off the shoes of thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is what? Holy ground. So Moses pulled off the sandals and stood before the burning bush. He was summoned before the face of God. Praise God. It was there and there that he received his commissioning. It was there and there that he received the word where God says, I am that I am. That was where God declared himself, I am that I am. Praise God. Hallelujah. You must recognize that this scene of Moses standing before the burning bush, something that every man must do, every man must come to that place where you stand before that burning bush and hear that voice with stillness. That voice that he said, I am that I am, and besides me, there is none other. Brethren, at that point in time, Moses died. The prince of Egypt, what? Died. It was no more Moses that from that moment onwards. See, the Bible says that no man can see. Jesus, God says, no man can see my face and what? Live. You can't see the face of God and live. Moses died. What came out of that place was a new creature.
A new creature.
Which is actually a creature after the name I am. Because it's this same Moses that now appeared as God before Egypt. Is this same Moses that became a courier of the thoughts and the word of God and the will of God to the populace of Egypt? Moses became a life giver. Moses became God manifest in the flesh. Praise God. God said, if you read further in the book of Exodus, God said that you will be as God unto the people. That Moses will be as God unto the, you know, to the Israelites and unto the Egyptians. He stands there as God. Why? Because the old Moses died, and a new man who is created after the image and the likeness of God comes forth. A servant of God comes forth, who has no life of his own, who has no purpose of his own, but to do the will of what? Of God. Jesus Christ says, I have no will of my own. My will is to do what? The will of him that has what? Sent me. That was the life of Jesus. He had no life of his own as a man born of Mary and Joseph, as a man, Hebrew man. He had no life or purpose of his own. All that he had was to do the will of what? Of God. Yes, because he had awoken to the reality that that life of Christ, that life of God, that I am, is the only life that there is. and we must all waken day by day and realize that the life of the I am that I am is the only life that there is. Besides him, there is no other. Amen.
Amen.
He is in us and through all men. Hallelujah. In meditation, you must begin to recognize that he is the one everywhere. He filleth all in all. We must recognize this thing, and it comes only by patience and meditation. And meditation. Patience and continuous meditating and receiving counseling from him from above. Standing before a burning bush and receiving counsel, because the moment we stop receiving counseling, the moment we stop meditating, the moment we stop remembering, we begin to find ourselves in trouble again. We begin to discover ourselves like the world again, in the dark. See, Jesus Christ gave many parables saying we should not sleep, isn't it?
Yes.
Say we should not sleep. See, we should watch and pray, not go back to sleep. See, those that are in this world, they do what? Sleep. When you go back to bitterness, to gossip, to anger, to vainglory, see it, revenge. When you go back to these things, you've gone back to sleep. You're not aware of the living one that is in you and through all. You're not aware of this secret. Oh, praise God. So Moses' conversion to becoming the most humble man in the world is the same conversion that occurs in you today, you and I today. Praise God. There are many mighty servants of God. Mighty servants of God in the spirit, angels that are working here on your behalf day and night. See? But these ones have no life of their own. That is the way we are. We come to the place where we have no what? Life of our own. But just to do the will of God. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus Christ gave a parable of a man that sowed a good seed. See it? A man that sowed a good seed, a farmer. He sowed a good seed in his field. Then in Matthew chapter 13, verse 25, but while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then has it tares? He said unto them, An enemy has done this. The servant said also unto him, Would thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while you gather the tares, you root up also the wheat with it. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, and gather the wheat into my barn. Now Jesus Christ explained this parable in Matthew chapter 13, verse 37. He said, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. Matthew chapter 13, verse 37. The field is the world. The good seed is the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the devil, the wicked one. Amen.
Amen.
The enemy that sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the earth, in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. End of this world. Are you listening?
Yes.
The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of the kingdom all things that what that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be what? Wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the Father's kingdom, or in the kingdom of the Father. He who has ears, let him hear. Amen.
Amen.
Now the Father is giving us ears to hear today, so that we can escape the judgment that is coming upon the earth, and so that we can also be partakers of the rest that he has promised for those who seek after him. Praise God. He's talking about an event that has occurred in every one of us. Because this good seed that has been, that was sown in this body when you came into this world, is the Christ in you, which is your true identity. Is it not written, Christ in you, the hope of glory? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you know that every man has that light in him? Christ is the light of the world. For Christ is the light that lighted every man that comes into this world. You see, but that light has not been shining up to this moment because the devil has sowed his own seed in this land too. So that light has been kind of covered. It has been kind of put under a brochure. See, the good seed of love, the good seed of righteousness, the good seed of patience, the good fruit of, you know, of the heavenly attributes of the Christ have not been manifest in us because the ties, which is the carnal reasoning of men or the wisdom of this age, has been sown in us. When we were introduced into this system, the devil has sowed into us the reasoning of this age, the wisdom of this age. And we have walked as carnal men of the dust. We have walked as men, mortals, ignorant of our, you know, invisible, glorious attributes as sons of God. Praise God. That's why at times you want to love. At times you want to do good. At times you can't do good. At times you notice on the inside of you there's a conscience, there's a good part in you.
Yes.
And there's another negative part in you.
Yes.
See, and there's a warring, constant warring within you. Even we're not just talking of Christians, every man, there's a war inside people. See, and when you do bad, you don't feel happy about it. And when you do good, you feel about, there's always a war.
Yes, sir.
You see, there's always war within us. See, because the power of the flesh seems to have the upper hand of men in this world. So you see, the devil has sowed the bad seed in us, which is our carnal mind, carnal reasoning, is the wisdom of this age that has tied us to this natural world, that has taught us that this world is our own, see, that has made us, you know, to have our treasures upon the earth and become carnal beings. See, and as long as you have treasures upon the earth, that's what they call the eyes, dark, the spiritual eyes, what is darkened. Praise God. Jesus Christ said you should not have what? Treasure upon the earth. See, your treasures be in the heavens, in the spirit, which is the real world. This world we're seeing is not a real world. It's just a temporary. It's not real. When you come into the spirit and you look at men in this world, you'll be shocked at the ignorance. And you'll be so sorry at the, you know, men have been subject to vanity. You see, it's like going to build castle upon the sand, and you build your castle upon the sand on the beach near the sea, and definitely the wind will blow, definitely the rains will come, definitely the wave of the sea will come, and it will all wipe off as if it's not there. And all along you are bitter, you are guarding that thing jealously, you made enemies because of that feeling, and you. You see, that's how men are. They are subject to vanity. See, but the gospel, the power of the gospel, and the voice of the Spirit in this hour is here to break the power of lust, to break the power of that man, the outer man that we have formed in the ignorance of this world. That's why Jesus Christ says the end of this world, because the natural man, the man of the dust, or the man of this world is actually of this world. The man of the flesh is actually of this world. The end of the world is simply the end of all that sense of belonging that we've ever had to this natural temporal dimension. That is the end. The end comes to something that happens within you. See, the world has ended for many people have realized this thing has come upon them. Many people are living in another dispensation. It's something that is continuous. When you hear the gospel and submit to the gospel, God ships you into his kingdom, which is an eternal spiritual kingdom, a glorious kingdom, a kingdom bubbling with life and joy. He ships us into that kingdom, and that's an eternal kingdom. That is where he gathers his good seed into. Now, the good seed is Christ in you. See, to discover God's kingdom, you must discover Christ in you. You must discover the good seed in you, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, which is your true spiritual inner self. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
It's all about being, this is the born again process. Born again process is just about awakening or working in relation to that inner man, that new man that God is revealing to us today by revelation. And when you discover him, this world ends. In fact, the end of the world has already come upon those who are following on to know the Lord. Praise God. Because the lamp, which is Christ, leads us out of this world. It leads us out of the ignorance of this age. It leads us out of the darkness of this age into the light. See, Moses, 40 years in the wilderness, God was taking him out of the world, allegorically, out of the kingdom of darkness into the light. Oh, praise God.
Amen.
And you see, Moses too had to stand before the angels. Jesus Christ says, at the end of the age, God will send his angels. These are angels of fire. The fire talks of truth. God's truth is fire. God's presence is fire. See it. And that fire consumes everything that is not God. Everything that is a lie. Everything that we taught ourselves to be in the flesh. Everything that we attach to ourselves to be. All these things are burned as the truth of God radiates forth from his messengers. That is the consuming fire. God is a consuming fire. Once you submit to this consuming fire, every sense of self is burnt away. So all this your attachment to yourself after the flesh, all this belief that you taught yourself to be, you taught yourself to be something in this world, in this world of appearances, all those things dissolve as the revelation light comes. The revelation light comes and reveals the true inner man, which is Christ in you. He's one with God. He's one with the Father. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Now we are beginning to understand our problem is not somebody out there. Our problem is not some kind of, you know, thing somebody did to us. The problem every man has is the mistaken identity he walked in as a man. But we are seeing the revelation now. Praise God. We are seeing the abomination that causes desolation. Jesus Christ says, when you see the abomination that causes desolation, what should you do? Flee to the high mountain like Moses did. Flee to the high mountain where you can obtain life, newness of life, where you can obtain and inherit a name that does not, you know, pass away. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And as we appear upon Mount Zion with the Lord, we stand before the burning bush, and the burning bush, or rather the fire or the flame from the presence of God or from the truth of God, the revelation light of God, burns off every sense of self. It burns off every, you know, attachment to the natural that we ever had, because we are not of this world. We are not of this natural world. We are of a spiritual kingdom. Hallelujah. Like Jesus, we are not what? We are not of this world. I am not of this world. Hallelujah. If you study the book of Revelation properly, the book of Revelation, all the God is always saying repent, always telling those who dwell upon the earth to repent. To those who dwell upon the earth, to those who dwell upon the earth, to those who dwell upon the earth, which is the realm of mortality, the realm where we've all settled, most we settled down to live in our ignorance. God says, come out from among them and come back to your original estate in Christ. Sit, awake. Put on your celestial image. put on your light garments and come forth and approach me. Oh, praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So, Matthew chapter 13 verse 43 says, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now the righteous, when all this work comes, when the Lord has accomplished this work, or rather when we realize the accomplished work of God, because in reality all these things have already been done, it's only left for us to realize the complete works, isn't it?
Yes.
Most people have to, some people have, you know, we, it's not good to judge others on the level of how you are working, praise God, but bear in mind that there are some people who are already walking in the reality of God's kingdom. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And God is giving us the key today on how we can enter into that place of eternal life. This is a very, very important. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
See it. When a man rediscovers that thing in him, he discovers that he's already righteous and holy. He discovers that he's a light that shines in this dark world. He discovers that, like Jesus Christ says, he's the light of this world. He discovers that, you know, he's the bright and morning star.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. He discovers that as Moses was the meekest man in the world, so is he also the meekest man in the world. See, because he has no life of his own. He has no sense of self. You cannot get to him. You can't, you know, get him angry. You can't get him to get bitter. You can't touch his joy. Because he's free. He's free from the elements of this world. He's free in another kingdom that is not of this world. See it. He's free into the vast, unlimited realms of God's spiritual kingdom. Praise God. And these are the people that God can work with. So you cannot have this world and have God. Praise God. Didn't we read it? Love not this world. If any man love this world, the love of the Father is not what? It's not in him. You cannot love God and love this world. You cannot love God and have your affections set in this world of appearances. This is the teaching that we are receiving in this hour. Praise God. So let us apply them to ourselves daily. In remembrance, there are many thousand ways we can preach gospel. See, there are many, many thousand ways we can. I can preach it from the book of Genesis. I can preach it from the book of Revelations. I can preach it through the testimonies of the patriarchs. I can preach it through the Psalms. I can preach it through nature. But remember that everything that God is teaching us today is to remember our true selves. Remember from whence we've fallen. Remember that we're spiritual beings. Remember that we are one indivisible body. See, we are all one in God. See, even though we became divided because we thought we were this, we thought we were that, we thought we had some kind of life of our own. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So, but God is calling us to awaken back to that original life so that we can partake of that abundant life that he, you know, reserved for us from the foundation of the world. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Father, glorify you. Blessed be your name. We exalt you, Father.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your words.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Let these words bring forth life in your people, O God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Keep us remembering in remembrance of these things that we've heard.
Amen.
Keep us in remembrance of these precious words.
Amen.
Let us not, you know, be like the fool who builds his house upon the sand. But let us enter into that eternal house that you've prepared for us from the foundation of the world.
Amen.
For you said that where you are, there your servants will be.
Yes.
Let there be progress in your people.
Amen.
Let there be progress in your people.
Amen.
Let there be progress and let us realize this light of life.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Open our eyes and blind our eyes from vanity.
Amen.
Open our eyes to the reality of your spiritual kingdom.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Father, blessed be your name. Thank you. Thank you. Amen.
As you started you saw an axe. Not all they used to break the wood to prepare, and they use in the villages, whatever.
Okay.
Axe.
This one, axe.
Okay. Yeah. Yes.
Sorry.
Yes. Then the axe, you see, there was I used to see it in the, also in the villages. The way I saw the vision, that's what I wanted to describe. Okay. You see the, you know when they remove the big wood, you know, it's, they used to be the root and the wood they've removed.
Yeah.
So to keep the axe, they will use it to...
On that place.
They will just put it on top so that it's there. That's the way the axe was on top, like that.
Amen.
Yeah, it was just there. Yeah. For the next phase, you know, he kept it or and sealed it there so that then there's more wood to be cut and he brings it out and start cutting it again.
Okay.
That's what I saw.
Okay, so you saw an axe that was stuck to the stump of the tree. The tree had already been cut.
Yes, on top.
Yeah, but the stump was amen.
Keep it for the next.
Amen.
Protect the axe.
I understand. So. You know what, you see what this vision talks about? What is the Lord trying to tell us from this vision? Because the Lord speaks to us in different ways. See, he might speak to us through visions, he might speak to us through the word. But this word is only confirming what we just heard today. John the Baptist warned the people of old, the scribes and Pharisees, that an axe has been laid at the root of the tree. See, and every tree that my father did not plant shall be what? Uprooted. Jesus Christ also repeated it again. Jesus Christ said, every tree that my father did not plant will be what? Uprooted. Now, what is this tree that the father planted that is to be uprooted? No, sorry, what is this tree that the father did not plant that is to be uprooted? It's our humanity. It's our mortal lives. See it? We have lived according to the flesh. We have lived a life as men of the dust. And that is not the tree of the Father. See, that is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Where we lived according to the natural senses, we lived according to sight, and according to the wisdom of this age. See, and that is that man that lives according to the wisdom of this age is a corrupt man. See, the natural man is a corrupt what? Is a corrupt man. The natural man is a corrupt man, and he cannot see the things of God. So God today is uprooting that man by the word of truth. The axe is the what? The word of truth. But this is the work of the Father. And that root is being, that tree is being put into the fire of truth, destroyed. When you put that root, the tree into the fire, the battery, it burns off and it is no more. Oh, praise God.
Amen.
This is what God is doing today. Every tree that the Father did not plant is to be what? Uprooted. So that the true tree that the Father planted, which is the tree of life, which is Christ in you, the man of the Spirit, shall come forth. Praise God.
Amen.
If you have ears here today, this is the will of God for every man. That every man should rediscover himself as that tree of life. Every man should rediscover the Christ in himself. Every man should exercise himself in truth, in righteousness, in spirituality. Praise God.
Amen.
This is the word of God in this hour. When you hear things like this, you know, these kind of visions, they are very, very important. It was good to meditate on them. Don't let these things leave us. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.